Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There are questions around about Brock Purdy. Are they going to pay him or what they're going to pay him? This is a perfect showcase game for him. Thursday night, everyone watching. Bright lights, big stage. He's going to have to play at a high level.
Now, back to
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we're getting closer. We're getting closer, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And we do have an in-person guest stopping by right now.
I'm nervous.
You are?
This guy's big time.
No, I mean...
Big time, great voice, too.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a buck.
And this is the kickoff show brought to you by Habas Law. We're live on the scene, Santa Clara, Niners and Rams tonight. And before this very intimidating figure, Jake Hutchinson, starts talking Niners to us, we can break the news to each and every one of you. A, B, C, yes, yes, yes.
Hunter Pence.
Nick Bosa. Drake Greenlaw.
Yes.
And Isaac Garendo are all active for this game tonight. Hutch, thanks for coming over. What's your reaction to that and how it affects tonight?
I mean, it's huge, right? It's, are we live? Are we good?
There we go. Right, try again. 3, 2, 1.
We're good?
Action. Yeah, we're good.
All right. It's massive. It's massive. I think it's something that having Isaac Garendo back, I mean, that's monumental for them. Nick Bosa, no question. Even if he's just in a rotation, right? Even if Bosa is just on the end, you know, he's just playing pass rush downs. I mean, that's huge for this team because they're not going to blitz a lot, and they need to get pressure on Matthew Stafford. He's a bottom six, bottom 10 quarterback when he gets pressured. And the 49ers aren't going to blitz that much in general. Having those guys back is big. And then Dre Greenlaw, he might just be a rotation guy for this first game. But, I mean, that's going to be enormous just from a vibe perspective, having him back.
The vibes are huge. And I was thinking about that in terms of rotation because as it is now, Fred's always out there. And even when they go to a two linebacker and they go to the nickel package, a lot of times it's Devondre Campbell, a little bit of D. Winters. Do you think that he'll just be rotating through that? And when they do go to traditional base, which teams don't really run a lot anymore with three linebackers, do you think that he'll get that shot, or will he be rotating into that?
Yeah, that's what I'm interested to see. I mean, this is coming off, I think, Devondre Campbell's been playing as well as he has all year long right now. D. Winters played a pretty good game. That said, I feel like if you're bringing Greenlaw back, you want to get him out there. So I would think if anyone's out, it's going to be D. Winters popping him out on those base downs. I think that's probably how they use Greenlaw. It's weird to me if they were to just go full bore, like swap him out for Devondre Campbell or Winters and have him as the will right away on a Thursday night game. I think that's a pretty big assignment against this team coming off an Achilles, but I think it's going to be a rotation. I think it might be on some of those base downs you're talking about.
Hutch, talk to us about Brock Purdy and a wet football.
Oh, boy.
What do you see?
Listen, I think small hands probably don't help, but I do think in general people overreact to that sort of stuff. But he didn't do himself any favors with that fumble, you know, in Buffalo where he just sack fumbled himself. I mean, I'm not going to say he's a great cold weather quarterback or a great bad weather quarterback by any stretch. I think this is a good opportunity if it gets a little dicey for him to prove something. But yeah, there's not a lot of evidence to say, oh, you'd feel inspired with him in a cold weather, rainy game.
Him throwing the ball last week, it sure looked like they were doing a lot more in terms of the vertical routes. He hit Debo with a deep one early and a couple of George Kittle screens, and the Garendo wheel route was big as well. What are you seeing from this pass game now that they're out of the snow?
Yeah, I think there's just a preference to funnel the ball to Juwan Jennings for the most part. I think Juwan Jennings moving him to X, he knows what he's going to expect out of him. With George Kittle, he knows what he's going to expect out of him. Debo can pretty much run one or two routes. You can send him vertically, or you can really just have him run a drag or a dig over the middle. And that's really what Debo does. I think the passing game, for the most part, has looked better. You know, not including that snow game. I think last week, they also got the best looks that they're going to get from any defense all year. The Bears just gave them, they abandoned their entire defensive scheme, as George Kittle said this week. And they just said, all right, here's a bunch of soft zone. Take whatever you want. I don't think the Rams are going to do that. They're a much more chaotic defense. They're not a good defense, but they are chaotic. So there's a little bit of unpredictability there. I think they run a lot of cover six. We'll see how they navigate that.
Our 49er insider, Jake Hutchinson, is right here live on the scene as we are in Santa Clara getting ready for this game tonight. I want to dive a little deeper on that because, as you said, it's not a good defense. Remember, this is the defense that Juwan Jennings went crazy against in week three and tucked into, I can't tell you, if I had a dollar for every time someone came up to me in the last 3 days and went, this team just beat Buffalo. How are the Niners going to hit right? They gave up a 40-burger to Buffalo, and that's Buffalo. But isn't this a game for the offense? They should be able to attack this defense.
Yeah, it's interesting. If this was a normal Sunday game, I think you expect both offenses to play pretty well. Thursday, I feel like these games have a tendency to get a little sloppy. But yeah, there should be holes for the 49ers to exploit on this defense. The Rams linebackers aren't very good. Their front is really interesting. They've got a lot of young, they've got two young pass rushers that they got out of Florida State. Those guys are really enticing, so you got to be careful there about what they're bringing. But on the back end, they're running, you know, some young safeties. They run three safeties, and they've got, you know, a couple okay corners, but they're not a good defense, right? There are going to be holes there. They are going to play more zone than man. But also, the Rams are a better coach team than the Bears, right? So I would expect them to have a better game plan and probably play a little man, especially against Debo, who cannot beat man coverage, and Juwan Jennings, he wins, but he doesn't really win. Like, he gets just enough separation and has great hands and physicality to make the play. So if I'm the Rams, I'm throwing a lot of man coverage at the Niners and saying, I don't care if we have the dudes. We're just going to see if it works.
Yeah, especially when you look at, you know, Debo, as you said, not great at beating man. And Ricky Pearsall is really the curious one for me because he had a couple of great games and it seemed like he'd broken through and he was ready to roll and be a real threat in the pass game. And now, what, one catch over the last four games? What are you seeing from Ricky Pearsall?
I honestly think Ricky looks fine. I watched the All-22 like the sicko that I am. And and I see him getting open, and I see a lot of the time the play is either not designed to go to him. He's running a lot of like what Ayuk did in his rookie year, where he's running these clear out routes. He knows he's not part of the play. And other times he is getting open and the play either takes Brock Purdy somewhere else, or I think because, you know, Pearsall didn't play a lot in OTAs, didn't play a lot in training camp, kind of like Ayuk at the start of the year, there's not that connection. He'd rather throw it to Jennings or Kittle, who he trusts. He knows where they're going to be. And Pearsall, as much as I have seen him separate and do a lot of those things, he's not trusted yet. Like, he's only been in this offense for a few games. He missed so much time. And I get it from Purdy's standpoint. So for me, I think he's doing his job for the most part. There's reps he doesn't win in man coverage, but I think there are more that he does. And I just think that's what happens when you're a rookie and you're not trusted, and it's a really complex offense.
While we're on the wide receivers, this is almost stunning to me. You have Debo Samuel go from a guy who gets the big contract, 25, whatever it is, million per year. He's a superstar. He's a 1,400-yard receiver. He saves two seasons for the 49ers. People chant his name. They love him. And suddenly in 1 year, he is now – quote, lost a step, and as you just said, literally can only run two routes. How did we get here?
Yeah, I think the reality of Debo as a player is he is limited as a receiver. He's never been a true route-running receiver. And he got paid that same offense that I think they all had the same agent. It was him and Terry McLaurin and DK. A.J. Brown. And all those guys got paid. And those guys are actually, like, true receivers. What separated Debo is all the other stuff, right? And all that creative stuff. And I think, one, defenses and schemes caught up. So that's part of it. And, yeah, they're not blocking well for him. But Debo didn't always need a play to be perfect. Blocked. He was just so explosive, and I think vertically going in a straight line, he's still got that speed, but I do see a lack of burst on him going side to side, making guys miss. He just has not done it effectively, and so all the things that he used to do in the Jimmy Garoppolo offense, funny night for him to come back,
right?
Yep.
Is he would catch those short patterns and take it wherever, and also because of the way teams have played man, they haven't gotten those easy looks that benefit Debo. So I think some of its scheme, some of its defense is adapting, and some of it's him, and I think it's sort of a perfect cocktail of all those things.
Yeah, and especially when you need him the most this year without Brandon Ayuk, and he hasn't been able to deliver as much. Thinking about the other side of the ball with no Malik Mustafa, after I guess he got hurt on that savage hit that he tried to give, but he ended up taking against Swift in Chicago. Jair Brown back in center stage. Where has he gone from last year where he emerged late in the year to now where he's kind of fallen out of favor?
Yeah, it's something where you hoped Jair would be sort of that safety of the future, right? And we saw a lot of positive signs, but Tashaun Gibson also took a lot of the responsibilities off his shoulders. But there were signs. There's reasons to be optimistic. I think there's like a hesitancy there. And as a safety, like you need to be able, like Mustafa, like be a speeding bullet, fire downhill when you see something and shoot your gap. And there is a little bit of a hesitancy with Jair that I think is a problem. And he doesn't have the same speed as Mustafa does. So he doesn't have the speed to make up for some of that stuff, and he's not quite triggering to the ball or to the play as quickly as you'd want him to.
You know what's interesting there, though, with what you just said? If Tashaun Gibson, from a communication standpoint, kind of helped Jair Brown be one thing, is this scenario tonight maybe better for Jair? Because he's not alongside a rookie with Mustafa. He's alongside Hufanga, who is much better with that somewhat, at least, veteran communication.
Yeah, and he's got to have a point to prove. And the Rams, for all the cool stuff they do, it's pretty straightforward. These teams know each other pretty well, what they're going to get. They do a lot of cool stuff with motions, but it's not that deceptive. Like, you look at that Bills game, Puka was making catches in very tight coverage.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford was just putting it in a perfect spot. So a lot of it is just going to be being sound and playing through the ball. And Jair has physicality. Like, I think getting him in this game, you know, he's going to have a chance to make some plays, but there's every once in a while you have a play where, you know, a deep ball down the middle of the field and he doesn't quite read it right, or
right,
there's a miscommunication. So that's going to be a spot. I'd expect the Rams and Stafford to go right at him.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We're talking with our 49er insider, Jake Hutchinson, on the scene in Santa Clara as we get ready. What is your take on the job Nick Sorensen has done this year?
It's something where assessing a defensive coordinator can be difficult, right? Because Kyle, he wants the DC to keep it simple. But part of the reason he wants this DC to keep it simple is because I don't think he trusts that Nick Sorensen is going to come up with this creative alternative that makes sense for them to go with. He wants them to go with what they started this regime with, which is four down, you know, and playing nickel increasingly. They used to play base more, but really get home with four and then just play sound coverage behind it. And so I do think there is an MO of let's be simple, let's just be sound in what we do. But also, if you did have a defensive coordinator who is a little bit more proven and who you did trust to maybe scheme some things up, I think you would do that. So Sorensen has not proved much. And then that 12-man on the field penalty, I think you see that and then you go, all right, well, if you're not going to prove anything and you're only going to have this one lingering penalty that's all in our collective consciousness, it's hard to say he's having a good year, right? I'm not going to say he's been terrible. He definitely hasn't been great. He's had some good moments, called some nice stunts at key times, but it's hard to say he's been better than okay.
And how much do you mitigate that based on all the injuries they've had and also the reality that he's never been a coordinator before and the importance of continuity in that role? And Mark and I were talking about this before. If he switches coordinators, that'll be coordinator number 5 next year in 9 years.
Yeah, it's something where their personnel, I think, on defense has been pretty shoddy. Like, I think it goes back to all those drafts, right, in 2021 and 2022, and they just missed so much that, you know, guys that they would have had, you know, in the pipeline to step up for, like, Dre Greenlaw getting hurt. You know, guys on the defensive front, they have, like, no defensive tackles. You know, Evan Anderson is large, but that's his number one trait. Like, they haven't replaced
him. He got a cool helmet, too.
Yeah, he does. He's got that chunky, squishy helmet. I almost wore one outside today when I was crossing over the parking
lot. With the rain, it'd be if they sold Guardian umbrellas, right? Just attach it to your head so it's not blocking anyone behind you. I'd buy that.
Yeah. Stay warm under there.
Let's go. Hey, we're not getting a lot of info right now on Trent Williams. It's exciting that these other three guys are back. He's not. What's going on?
Yeah, I think it's Trent. I think last year had the ankle sprain, and I think it was Chris Foerster, the offensive line coach, run game coordinator, who talked about it. Like, Trent is, he's getting older, and he's not recovering from things as quickly as he used to. And when you get up there and you are a large guy, and he did play through it, he gutted through it for that one game, and clearly it aggravated it. I think it's something where they're like, all right, well, we have to prove to ourselves and to Trent Williams that it's worth him coming back. And I think if you win against the Rams, then we'll start looking at, all right, and next week maybe we get Trent back into the fold. It will be interesting. Just, you know, does he come back next week if they lose? I kind of doubt it. I think if they lose this game, and that's pretty much the season for all intents and purposes, I'd be surprised if he comes back. If they win, I wouldn't be surprised to see him. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it.
And similarly, like, Dre Greenlaw, I think, is maybe a little bit different because he wants to play his way back into favor, and even if they lose tonight, wouldn't you think that he'd want to keep playing to be more attractive in the free agent market too?
No question. I mean, I remember it was a month or two ago, and this is like well before there's even, Kyle has given us a timeline on Greenlaw returning, and he's throwing the ball around to Fred Warner, and I see him go up one-handed and catch one and land, and Warner's like, whoa, slow down. So he's been itching to be out there for a while, and I think regardless of where they're at, he wants to prove that he's not going to be the same player. That's just how Achilles work. That first year, there's no question you're not going to be the same player, but I think he wants to prove that he is still a capable player and that, you know, he's got a place on this team and in the league, and the energy that he brings can elevate this defense.
I'm going to admit that this is not capturing the tone of the moment. We've got a big game tonight, and that is first and foremost, obviously. However, I feel like asking, where do things sit with the larger Brock Purdy issue, and how do they avoid having another long summer of rumors and frustration?
Yeah, I think there's two questions there. There's like the price tag, which if you're going to pay him, you're going to pay him, and you're going to get raked over, you know, whatever it is. It's just going to be rough.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Like, that's what the quarterback price tag is. It's going to be like $60 million. Like, that's just what the market is, and I know people will say, well, how many teams would bid for him and whatever. It's something that you don't really want to test. This is the guy that Kyle Shanahan has trusted more than, truly the only quarterback he's really trusted in his 49ers tenure. No question about it. And we saw, I was there with all the awkward Jimmy stuff, and those guys didn't like each other that much. It's not that they have like a disdain, but they didn't get along all that well, and they just stuck it out because they sort of had to. Brock he trusts. Brock he believes in elevating the offense, and so I do think that they will get something done. In order to avoid all of the stupid stuff that they do, they have to realize they're not winning. They used to be obsessed with like winning these deals, and we're going to take it to the end of the summer, and we're going to get the price we paid, and it worked for a while. And then Nick Bosa got his money, and then they had all these players who were like, you have to pay us. I'm Trent Williams. You're not going to do anything this season if you don't have me. Christian McCaffrey, what are you going to do without me? Clearly not that much. So with Brock Purdy, he can make the same argument, and I think they're going to want to get that deal done earlier rather than later.
And do you think that the front office has, quote, learned its lesson from this year where Ayuk held in and that didn't work out, and Trent held out and that didn't work out, and McCaffrey's injury notwithstanding, but you paid him and then he wasn't ready to go until week 8. Has Parag Marate in the front office realized that there's another way to go about it?
I would hope so. I would hope so. That's all I can say. I don't know how they, how they look at it day to day, but if I'm them, I don't want my star quarterback lingering. And if you do the thing where, you know, a lot of people propose, all right, just draft a rookie or you make him play on that last year, Brock Purdy should not play next season unless they pay him.
Right.
He's been playing for basically free in NFL terms for 3 years and at a very, very high level. If I was him, I would honestly sit out if they didn't put the deal on the table. So if I'm the 49ers front office, I try and get my business done early. Have they learned their lesson? I guess we'll all find out and be pretty miserable if they show they haven't.
No doubt. Our 49er insider, Jake Hutchinson, is with us. I wish everybody in Radio Land could have just seen the look on your face when Dibs, you asked him, have they learned the lesson? And yes, there is some factor of I don't know in there, we'll find out. But what your facial expression also said to me, and I don't know how many people know this, that's a stubborn group of people that you're asking, did they learn their lesson? That is a high-level, stubborn group. And so I know it seems like, well, I'm sure they did. I'm not sure at all, Jake.
No, I'm with you. Kyle is as stubborn as they come.
And Parag might be even more.
No question about it. And they try and get to that number. But and I get it. You want to get the right number, especially if you're going to pay a quarterback. All I'm saying is get those negotiations started early. Like, put the numbers on the table. They love to wait and try and make things uncomfortable. I don't think you're going to do that with a quarterback.
Hey, what if this does happen, and if it's 50, 60, whatever, doesn't matter, give us some names who might be gone because of it.
I think they've set themselves up where this offseason they could get rid of Debo. They could post June 1st cut Debo for some cap space. They set it up. They just restructured Javon Hargrave's deal where they can post June 1st him. So those are two guys. I think Charvarius Ward, they have this thing where he's going to cost $13 million on the cap whether they have him or not. I mean, they've got some good young corners. I wonder if he's probably gone after this year. So those are three guys on this team I look at. I think they're probably going to end up having to have some talks with Kittle about an extension, give him a little bit more money and restructure it a little bit like McCaffrey, because he's the one guy that's played out of his gourd and deserves it. So and they have not been able to draft a tight end or get a backup that's even remotely capable. So I think Hargrave, Ward, Debo could be guys out
there. What would the Debo number be if they did post June 1st release him? How much would that hurt them in the cap?
He would only cost like $10 million in dead cap next year if they post June 1 him, and they'd save about $5 or $6 million. So there's an argument that he just stays anyway because they're not going to save that much cap space by cutting him. That said, given what you saw this season, I almost feel like just a clean slate moving on might be better, might be cathartic for everybody involved. But again, Debo's been Kyle's favorite player. They have a very tight relationship. So that'll be interesting to see. I think these next, you know, however many games might help determine that.
Getting back to tonight, if you are Nick Sorensen, what kept you up at night all week long with that Rams offense?
The fact that you might play sound defense and you might play tight coverage and they still might be.
Yeah.
Because that's what I saw with the Bills. It was just the amount of catches that Puka Nacua makes that no one has any business making.
He's so good.
He's unbelievable, and they funnel everything through him, and Cooper Kupp's solid, and when Stafford is playing well, there's truly not much you can do to stop him if you can't get pressure. So getting pressure is the one thing without blitzing, because he's somehow great against the blitz and terrible when under pressure. So it's like get four and get home with it. If you can do that, you have a good chance. But if you give him time, it could be rough.
To the point you're making, is Nick Bosa playing with a full deck tonight?
I don't think so. I think the fact that, you know, he barely practiced last week, he was quote-unquote limited in the one. They didn't practice this week at all.
Right.
I wouldn't be shocked if they rotate him and almost use him as just like a third down rotational guy, you know, play him 20 snaps or something. That said, you know, we've seen what happens when Christian McCaffrey came back from injury, and Kyle Shanahan can be a lunatic.
There you go.
He can just be a maniac and say, all right, well, he's good to go. He's going full bore. So that's how I see it. It's either going to be like 20 snaps or he's just going to play a bunch.
Jake Hutchinson, thanks for coming by, bud.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Great stuff.
Yeah, it's nice to get warm in here.
You can hang out. The game doesn't start for an hour, so you can hang out if you want. All right, great stuff. And now your turn. 888-957-9570 is the number. The Greenlaw thing, I think, is exciting for everybody. But can we also, especially since Jake just talked about it, slightly overblown, he said, the idea of Brock Purdy in a wet football? I want to know from you listening out there, especially if you're on your way in right now. It is still dry. It's dry outside right now. But when you hear Brock Purdy and a wet football, what do you think? What do you think? Is that something that makes you nervous? Is it overblown? We can take some calls on that, get into more on this football game. 888-957-9570 is the number. Special shout to those of you on your way into the game. Give us a buzz. We're live on the scene at the Hilton, and this is the Kickoff Show brought to you by Habas Law. It's Willard and Dibbs.